Upgrade your laundry routine with a durable and reliable Maytag laundry pair at Lowe's. Like the new Maytag washer and dryer with performance-enhanced stain-fighting power designed to cut through serious dirt and grime. And what's great is this laundry pair is in stock and ready for delivery when you need it the most. Don't miss out. Shop Maytag in-store or online today at Lowe's.
You are listening to A&R Podcast. This is episode 11. And on today's episode, we'll be talking about Invincible, the TV show. We'll be talking about the Loki trailer. And we'll talk about FanFest, Hasbro's FanFest, on April 9th. So let's get started. Welcome, everybody, to another episode. I am so happy that you're joining us today, and we have an exciting and fun show, so let's get started. But before I do, I got to introduce my co-hosts. So, D, how you doing, buddy?
Long week, but I'm good now. Hope you are, too.
Nice to hear you. And my other co-host, Chris.
Hello, hello. I'm good.
Hello, hello to you, sir.
How are you guys?
Good, good.
Good.
Unfortunately, our other brethren, Telford, cannot join us today, but hopefully he will hop in next week. So, gentlemen, we've got a great show today. We are talking about Invincible. We're talking about Loki trailer and FanFest. But before we do get started, I do want to mention a fan who reached out to us through Instagram, says he loves listening to our podcast and has been entertained and informed, which is two things I love to hear because that's what we're all about, and is going to start up his Marvel Legends X-Men collection. So, Sean, thank you for listening to us. We appreciate it. And anytime you guys send us messages on our Instagram at AstonishingNR or our other outlets, we will definitely give you a shout-out and thank you for listening. So, before we get going and talk about our juicy topics, we'll go around the digital round table here and talk about what we got and what we watched. So, D, take it away.
I watched Godzilla versus King Kong. I don't even remember the title now. I was just in a trance. I was like, all right, two monsters duking it out. Sweet.
What'd you think of it?
Two monsters duking it out. Sweet. That's my summary. I can't be bothered with plots, with ridiculous things like stories or character building. No, it was pretty fun. It was a fun ride. Did you guys get a chance to watch it?
No.
Oh, yeah. I watched it right away.
Yeah.
Did you like it? Right away. You know what? It was good, but it was, I don't know. It just, there was no storyline. It was just kind of ridiculous, some of the stuff.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. Like, did you like the fights?
The fights were, the CGI and, you know, the way they set up the fights were pretty cool. I enjoyed it. It was good in terms of turning off my brain and just having a good time and escaping the world. Yes, it did its job. It served its purpose.
Yeah.
Was it a great, you know, script and, you know, good story? No, it's just all over the place. But I mean, that's what do you expect, right? I mean, you see two monsters. Are you going to expect to see, you know, some Oscar-winning writing in there? No, right? So
they worked with what they had.
Criticize
and
it.
And then
you can't criticize too much about it.
Yeah. Get delivered on what I promised. And then what I got was, I didn't really get anything fun. I bought that Marvel Legends Miles Morales, and I'm going to use him for pieces to make a custom.
Nice.
I wish you told me. I have like five of them.
That's okay. I'll need some more sooner or later. Why do you have
some? Let me know.
Why do you have so many?
My son wanted one, so I ordered one, but I realized I ordered two by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And then I stopped that. And then EB Games, I apparently had asked like three different EB Games to pre-order for me, and all three of them came through.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I've done that. And then I always feel bad canceling. So I'm just like, oh, okay, I'll buy this. And I'll find a use for it somewhere else.
And then one day I was walking at Walmart and they had it there. And this is before EB Games called me. So I'm like, well, I don't want to take chances here. I might as well grab this one. And then as soon as I grab it, literally the next day I get a call from all the stores that they're there. was like, oh, why can't you guys call me 24 hours before this? So yeah, my son has one. I have one. I have one sealed. Like, I always put one to stock, and then I have a couple sitting around somewhere here.
Better safe than sorry.
Yes. Anyways, what else did you get?
That's all I can think of. Anything else I ordered is probably stuck in limbo or transit somewhere, and I forgot about it. So when it arrives on my door, I'll be happy.
You didn't get any NECA stuff?
Oh, does it count? Someone forced those upon me? Oh, I didn't hunt for them, okay, but
hold on.
It still counts.
You weren't forced upon anything.
I actually posted this like in a turtle group. I was like, I was very thankful for this. I didn't want to embarrass you or give you an ego or anything, but I did praise you elsewhere. I just didn't tell you. he did this in a calculated way where he gave me all the side characters, so now I'll be forced by the turtles.
Well, the fans who are listening, they would like to hear what you got. So if you want to just indulge us and let us
know. I got Leatherhead and Slash, Krang and Shredder, the Casey 2-pack, and the April 2-pack. But I'm still missing the four brothers. So every time I look at all of those 2-packs, I'm going to be like, I need those four turtles. And that's exactly what Elvin was planning on, because I told him I'd never get the Toon Turtles. But now I have to. So well done. And I do appreciate it.
Luck would just happen to happen that they're releasing the four turtles, right?
In
the 4-pack. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, you also got Bebop and Rocksteady, which is very hard to find. And that is going up in price quickly. So, yeah, you've got all of them, right?
Hopefully they'll be easy to find here. I always say that, and then they turn out to be easy. Maybe Metalhead wasn't. I did get him, but I haven't seen him around lately. So maybe I should go pre-order the 4-pack somewhere. What about
Krang? With the big body.
Oh, I haven't seen Krang at all, but Metalhead I got. Krang I probably won't find.
I'll find him sooner or later. Was he available everywhere?
I'm not sure. I'll find out tomorrow. I'll do some digging. Now look what you made me do. What I said I wouldn't do.
Leave it to Elvin.
Well,
yeah.
Yes. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. Until I trip over something in the middle of the night. Like, oh, that's what that was.
All right, Chris, what did you get and what did you watch?
It was a very small week. I ended up tracking down The Nun from NECA. You probably haven't watched it, so I won't ask you about it, but...
There's no way you're going to get me to watch that
ever. You know, it was such a good movie. You know, I didn't watch it when it first came out and people were saying how it was terrible.
I'll take your word for it.
But it was actually good. I enjoyed it. It's part of the Conjuring series, and I wish I got it when it first came out, but thankfully I was able to track one down, and I got it today, and it's a pretty cool-looking figure. You know, it's a demon nun. Who doesn't want one of those in their collections?
I sure don't.
You sure need one. And... And for what I watched, I've been watching a few things. I did watch Invincible, which I can't wait to talk about. I watched on Netflix High Score. Have you guys watched that yet?
Is that the documentary?
It was so good. It's so cool learning about, like, because I was born in 83. We grew up with console systems. We had Nintendo. We had Sega Genesis. And to see the development of games from then till now, you know, when you think about it, 35 years is quite a lot. Never mind. We'll skip that.
But I think we'll probably do an episode talking about 80s stuff. I think that'd be pretty cool to talk about 80s toys and games and movies.
Oh, yes.
So we'll do a special 80s episode.
I'll crimp my hair.
We'll dress up as 80s people, too. Yes. We'll get the neon clothes out.
I barely remember the 80s, so I'll give my, like, my baby.
You're a youngin' compared to us, too, so.
Yeah. I'll give my, like, baby perspective on it, because I do remember some stuff. So I'm excited to see where the difference is.
Well, you can definitely talk about the 90s when we get into the 90s. So yeah. The 90s follow-up episode. So, all right, cool. Anything else?
And I watched Mannequin. If you don't know what movie that is, go watch it. It's from 87. It's really good. It's cheesy, campy, 80 romantic film. Go watch it.
Oh, romantic. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
There's no blood or gore. I'll give it a try.
No. Surprisingly, it's about this guy who creates this mannequin that comes to life only in front of him, and they create these crazy window details. It's... You just gotta go watch it.
I think I might have seen it, but I'll give it a try. I'm always down for new stuff.
It's not on Netflix, but if you want to borrow it, I can lend it to you because there's part one and two. Part two is surprisingly too cheesy for me to watch, but it's definitely one of my top five 80s movies. Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's saying a lot because there's a lot of good movies in the 80s, and we'll get into that in that special episode.
Yes.
Okay. All right. For myself, I had myself a good week all the way up to today. Today was a good day. What I got was I ended up getting the SPD Pink Ranger from Hasbro, the Lost Galaxy Red Ranger from Hasbro, Dino Thunder Blue Ranger, the Zeo Green Ranger, and I happened to get two of those because we're going to actually review the Zeo Green Ranger in one of our YouTube videos soon. So make sure you guys, whoever's listening, to check out our YouTube channel. We'll definitely reviewing that figure. I got from the Kingdoms, War of Cybertron Kingdom series, I got Ultra Magnus three times over. Don't ask. Kingdom line, I got the Voyager Dinobot, Cheetor, Air Razor, Huffer, Inferno. Got those guys. And I also got the SDCC Mezco Moon Knight Special Edition. Got that guy. I also got Nick Fury from SH Figure Arts. And today, just this morning, we posted it up on our Instagram. I got the 5-pack Thanos and the Children of Thanos from Marvel Legend. I'm so stoked. We're going to do a review on that whole set. So I'm really excited to do that. And what did I watch? Well, I watched Invincible, obviously. It's a regular thing for me to do that. And we also watched our Winter Soldier and Falcon, which we have our special episode. Make sure you guys check that out, our bonus episodes on that. And I watched Godzilla versus King Kong, which we talked about just earlier. And yeah, that was pretty much what I watched. I'm looking forward to April. There's a lot of good stuff to watch in April and May as well. It's ramping up to be a very busy, and I feel like all the streaming platforms are battling each other this next 2 months for good viewers, because there's a lot of stuff coming out.
Mm-hmm. As they should be.
Oh, yeah. But it's just funny. I find April and May to be the combative months, right? So just interesting to see that. All right, so let's get into our first topic. Our first topic today is the Amazon sensation Invincible. If you haven't seen it, I don't know why not. We've been talking about it. You definitely need to check it out. If you haven't seen it, by the way, you need to stop the recording or listening to our podcast right now, because we're going to be talking about all kinds of spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, stop, go watch it, and then come back and listen to our take on it. So just a fair warning right now. Let's begin. All right, D. So episode 4 dropped last week. What are your thoughts? We talked about the first couple of episodes. What do you think about episode 4 and so far, how the show is going?
It felt like filler, but at the same time, it still was action-packed enough that I wasn't bored. And even though I call it filler, it's expected. Like, there's going to be some episodes where information just has to be passed. Like, you have to do character development. You have to do storytelling. So what's interesting now is, if you guys have been watching, you know, Omni-Man isn't the perfect superhero he claims to be. And he got a little murdery in the first two episodes.
Murdery, just a little.
Just a tad. And now everyone's suspecting it's him, but they don't outright say it. So now there's a game of cat and mouse, and Omni-Man's going around threatening people, but not outright admitting he did anything. You get to see his tempers flaring a little bit. So that's always fun to me, because he's unpredictable. What I liked about the comic is you can never predict who would die or who would act out and lash out. And it seems like the show is doing the same thing. Like, it's keeping you on the edge of your seat. And at this point, the episode has steered away from the comics a little bit more. It's still the same storyline, but it's not like anyone who read the comics can predict what happens. So that's good for me. I didn't want a shot-for-shot retelling
of the book. Are you happy? Let me ask you a question. Are you happy that they have veered away from the comics?
Yeah, I'm happy because I don't want to predict too much, you know? Like, but I don't want to be one of those guys who, like, oh, this is going to happen next episode.
What if they remove some of the things that are pivotal in the comics? Would you still be okay with that?
Depends what they remove. Like, for example, some people are supposed to have siblings. And if they just outright skip that, then I'd be bothered. But some people are supposed to die.
Okay, well,
and if without they skip giving that, away... Without well, yeah, I'm not going to give it away, of course. Like, you know the show is killing people. We don't know what the...
Yeah, well, yeah.
So, I'm not going to say who. I'm not even saying if it's the main character who died, but if
I did read ahead a little bit, so I do know you? What's coming, and I'm... Well, what's basically has been done in the comics, so I'm wondering if this is going to happen, because this is going to change the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting what's gonna if they continue this path and follow the comic line a little bit, because that's a huge moment. There's a big moment coming up, right? So...
Yeah, and if it is a big moment, will it remain a big moment in this show?
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see. Like, either way, even if I'm disappointed, I'll still be excited that I got to take this journey and watch it and see, like, okay, why did they change this? Could they have done something different? Was this change necessary? Like, I want to dissect it still. Yeah. So either way, I'll be happy.
Do you think it has legs to go maybe two or three seasons in? Or do you think
they're going to need to? There's no way they can tell this. Like, the thing about Invincible is it is a story about him from his teenage life to his adulthood. So if they cut that off at one point, like, I don't know. I'd feel unsatisfied if they don't finish the story. Because the comic did have an ending. So we'll see.
Yeah. Chris, yes. What did you think of it? I mean, you haven't read the comics, so you have no idea. You didn't even watch it until we told you to watch it. And now that you have, what are your thoughts from... And you could start from the episode one if you'd like. But okay. What are your thoughts overall?
You know, I wasn't not going to watch it. I just forced myself because you threatened me to watch it. I
did not do that.
Did you phone and just put it into the phone? Yeah. You don't watch this, I swear.
I will find you.
Sorry, Chris. What am I, go ahead.
Liam Neeson now or something?
But anyways, this is a pretty intense cartoon. You know, I liked the way it started. It almost started like it was a real movie. Just the two guys... security talking, and then the action picks up and it's like, what's going on? It's all new to me, so I'm not sure what's gonna happen, what's, you know, where are things gonna go. And, you know, learning about these heroes, it's funny because every hero that was introduced in that beginning episode, it's just like, okay, this one's like Wonder Woman, this one's like so-and-so. So at that point, I was thinking, okay, so it's kind of going to be a knockoff, but just different names, different looking characters. But as the episode progressed, it was, okay, I'm intrigued. You know, it's completely different. And I was not expecting it to be as good as I thought it'd be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because You know, you're basically echoing what a lot of other people have mentioned to me when I told them to go watch it. Is they watched the first 5 minutes and they're like, really, do I need to continue? I'm just watch, get through the first episode.
Yeah.
And once the episode one ended, my phone blew up with all the people that I told, because they're like, this is amazing. This is insane. And we all know what we're talking, you know, this is a spoiler zone, so we're going to mention it, but that episode ending, episode one ending, that was insane, where he just goes on a killing spree and just destroys everybody and lays to waste the whole society, right?
I almost cried when he was squeezing Red Rush. Oh my god.
Oh, yes.
Red Rush.
Red Rush, yeah.
Oh, I was like, no, stop. Why are you doing this? And then it just happened, and I'm just like, but I like these characters and I only knew them for 5 minutes. Like, why are they dying already? I want to know who they are. I want to see more from them, but I guess that's not going to happen.
Well, that's the crazy part about this, is because you thought that these guys were going to fight him and, you know, actually put up a fight, or something's going to happen where they become arch enemies, and all of a sudden it's just like, nope, they're all dead. You know, it's just like, okay. Now, I mean, reading the comic books, we know some things that we're not going to mention to you, Chris, but it was pretty crazy how it, and I think because of how it ended episode one, it hooked people to continue on to episode two and three.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we had an ending like that, if we didn't have an ending like that, I don't think it would have hooked as many people to continue following this series. So I give kudos to, you know, them for ending episode one like that, because I think it hooked more people onto the show and made it a phenomenon, which it is right now. And I mean, people are talking about this all over the place, right? So
yeah. And can I just add something? The one thing that I really liked about the show after the opening sequence, you know, we find out that he's gonna get powers and he's wanting it, and then he gets the powers, and I love the whole part of him just learning how to use it. You know, in other shows like the X-Men, you know, they have powers and they already know how to control them, and you know, it was kind of cool to see that character development and also the change in the father. You know, as soon as his son got the powers, he started acting all weird. And I'm just like, what's going on? Why isn't he proud of his son? The only one thing that I would say is I don't like how he always looks like the father's eyes are peeled. He always looks shocked. He doesn't blink. Yeah. It's just weird for me.
Is it because he has those like beady little pupils?
Probably, but it was so great. And then, you know, I had to search a little more about Invincible because I like to know what I'm talking about. And when the cast came up, I was just like, what an amazing voice cast this cartoon has. It's just like everyone in here, Zazie Beetz, Mark Hamill, Sandra Oh, Seth Rogen. I'm just like, okay, I love it even more because I think they casted it very well, in my opinion.
Well, how about J.K. Simmons?
Yeah,
I can't picture anyone else voicing him now.
Like, seriously, he nailed it, in my opinion. I absolutely love this actor. I think he's awesome. You know, he's in the show that it was on for two seasons called Counterpart. And if you guys haven't seen that TV show, it's a sci-fi show. But it's an espionage sci-fi, if I can word it that way. But it's a definite watch. It's only lasted two seasons, but it's so trippy. It's such a good show to watch. And how about Steven Yeun? Right? I mean, he was phenomenal in Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually cried a lot when he, you know, got killed off in that show, because he was such a good character.
Yeah.
And he did such a great job of, you know, portraying that character. So I'm happy to see that he is, you know, center and, you know, front and center in this show. So I love seeing that. But yeah, Mark Hamill, Zazie Beetz, like you said. I don't know how to pronounce this guy's last name, but Jason Mantzoukas.
Oh, Mantzoukas.
Man, I love him.
I love him. I love him on... oh, you should check out How Did This Get Made? It's him and June Diane, and I forgot his other name. He was in The League. He's Andre in The League, if you've ever seen that.
They just watched that. The League? Yeah. I love that show. It's all centered on fantasy football. That's all it is.
Yeah, yeah. But any show that he's in, I like. And at first, I'm always like, can he pull this voice off? And then he does. I'm like, well, that was a silly thing of me to think. Why did I even question that?
And then he's also in Brooklyn Nine-Nine as well.
Yeah. And he's in, I've recently finished DuckTales, and he is Steelbeak in that. So I was like, oh, man, this guy's just getting the work, and I love it. He works hard, though. Like, I'm glad he's getting success, and I'm glad his name is getting out there, and I'm glad his name shows up in this show now. So I'm happy.
And how can we forget Sandra and Seth? Good old Canadian actors, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Seth being from Vancouver and Sandra from Ottawa. So, yeah, it's a fun-filled cast. Amazon went all out and got the proper voices, I think. I can't see a lot of these guys not being these characters. Like you said, J.K. Simmons. Omni-Man, yes, locked in. Anybody else? No, I can't see it anymore.
Well, he did so good because he just has that voice. You know, every time I see him, I think of him as J. Jonah Jameson in Spider-Man.
Spider-Man!
Yeah. But he did it so well. He, like, softened his voice, but also made it powerful at the same time. That was awesome.
Well, it's about time he gets, you know, his due for being such a great actor. He's always been under the radar, in my opinion. And I see now that people are starting to recognize who he is because of JJ. And then, you know, now with Omni-Man here. But, you know, he's a phenomenal actor. And, yeah, like you said, like I said, if you watch Counterpart, which I implore people to watch, you will see there's a doppelganger of him in the show. You will see him act like two different J.K. Simmons would act like. It's just two different total characters, but he pulls it off, and it's insane to watch that because the mannerisms he perfects the mannerisms for one, and it's a total different mannerism for another person, and he just pulls it off, and it's just insane to see him do that. And how talented he is, it's just ridiculous. So yeah, I mean, hats off to Amazon for getting the right people to do this show. Even though their actual face is not on the show, there's a lot to do with the voice, right? It has to be just right to make that character really stand out. And him, his voice in Omni-Man, perfect. Stands out. Excellent. Love it. Was there anything else you guys wanted to add in Invincible?
Well, I mainly talked about the beginning, but like the action when they got to Mars, what did you guys think about that? Like, as Chris mentioned, there's a lot of characters who seem like carbon copies of, like, the Justice League, for example. But they're self-aware, so I'm not that judgmental about it. Like, they know, like, it's a parody. Like, these guys are clearly parodies.
Yeah.
And they worked with what they had. So when they got to Mars, the main threat were called the Sequids, which are basically Starros. But to see them in action, like, at the end of the episode, like, reading them on paper versus seeing how they actually move, I was like, okay, I can see why these guys are dangerous. So I was really happy seeing them on screen. I was happy to see that Mars episode on screen. It was pretty funny to see Mark interact with more alien species now. And just how, like, calm he is about everything. And how, in a way, ignorant. He's like, oh, by the way, I'm half Viltrumite. Do you know what those are? And like, yes, of course we do. We're not stupid. Like, but his world is so small.
Yeah.
Now that he's branching out, he's learning that the universe is a big place. And I'm curious to see how many other planets and species they bring into the show from the comics. So I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. Mars was the first step, so I'm excited to see where they go from there.
Yeah, yeah. I hope that they, you know, continue the path that they're going in, because it's amazing. It's awesome. I look forward to it. It's a shame that we don't get it all at once, like Netflix.
I know, four episodes.
You know, we get spoiled with Netflix. Seriously, yeah. We get spoiled.
I would have been finished with it by now, though, so I don't know if that's a good thing.
Oh, yeah. I would be fine with it. Finish it. I'm good. On to the next.
Yeah.
April, like you talked about, April and May is going to be a blockbuster of stuff coming out. We're going to actually, you know, touch on some of this superhero genre on our next episode, dive into it more. But I think we covered Invincible pretty well. And for those of you who haven't checked it out, honestly, this is not like, you know, Saturday morning cartoon. This is blood, violence. This is an adult cartoon. This is not for kids. I do not recommend watching this with kids. You're just going to probably traumatize them if you do. I would definitely just watch it adult viewing. This is absolute must. The conflicts, the violence, the, you know, the relationships they have in there, it's really good. Definitely worth checking out. And we'll continue talking about it every week as the episodes progress. All right, okay, let's talk about our, you know, our favorite god of mischief, Loki. So they dropped the trailer on us, which you guys, anyone who's listening, can see it on our Instagram at AstonishingNR. You can check out our Loki trailer that just dropped a couple of days ago. Was it a couple of days ago or just yesterday?
Couple days.
I think it was yesterday, right?
Okay, maybe so two.
A couple of days ago, yeah. Yeah, definitely a new trailer, which gives us a lot more things to look at, some more juicy details about what he's going to be doing. Dee, did you get a chance to see the trailer?
I did. So if you know me, I like to surprise myself, so I don't watch trailers, but I have been ever since like we started doing this podcast, which I'm fine with. Like, this doesn't bother me. But I didn't go into like investigation mode where I like stop every second. What's that? What's behind that rock there? Like, I just watched it as a normal person watching it, and I was like, what is going on here? Oh, there's Owen Wilson. Okay, there's a familiar face. But then it pulled me back in with just the chaos, and I loved absolutely every second of it. Like, I'm excited. I liked Loki for who he was as a character, but I couldn't picture them making an entire series about him because he's still kind of a jerk. Like, he's a villain, really. He's had some, like, nice moments, but whenever they make, like, a movie-centric villain movie, I'm like, okay, how are you going to make me like him? Aside from him being charming. Like, I have to root for you. And they managed to do it in the trailer, so I have no doubt about the show. It had, like, a Men in Black Doctor Who feel.
So yeah, that's a good way to put it, yeah. That's a definitely good way to put it.
Men, like, this bureau brings him in because they need him to help investigate these. It's either sci-fi, paranoia, or in this case, time travel.
Oh, yeah, and and he's got a nice shades, too, just like Men in Black, right?
Yeah.
His sunglasses in there. Did you notice any surprises in there? Like, any sort of appearances you think somebody's going to show up in that? I mean, he does mention Thor and Heimdall, so I'm wondering...
Like, as Guardians will show up.
He'll definitely show up.
I did question... There is that scene where it pans down on the statue of those... I guess, I don't want to say men, but they are humanoid figures. Like, those seem like they'd be important. Do you have any idea who those are? Like I said, I didn't pause and I didn't investigate. Like, I'm just like, oh, that looks
important. You mean the three pillar statues where the elevators are going up?
Yeah.
Those are the timekeepers.
Okay. Like, are they...
Yeah. Well, I don't know too much about that, but I just know that they're timekeepers. I'll do some more research and I'll find out more details for you guys. But all I know is they're just timekeepers of, they're outside the realm of time basically, and they kind of monitor people trying to mess around with the timeline. And you know, we saw that what Loki did by grabbing the Tesseract. You know, they're narrating that he screwed up the timeline. I just want to make sure that people understand that there are multiple timelines. He screwed up his timeline, not all the other timelines. All those branches you see, if anyone's watched the trailer, those are just branches within this specific timeline. There are other timelines from other universes. It didn't affect all those ones. It only affected this one. So that's why the time gatekeepers are calling him to go and fix it because he's the one that screwed it up by taking the Tesseract out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting because I wonder if he's going to show up in specific moments in the Avengers 10-year gap.
Do you think? I mean, it'd be a waste not to.
Yeah, exactly, right? I mean, he's going to show up at some pivotal moment or something.
That would be cool.
I wonder if that's going to... right? Yeah. Like, even if... just even as in the background, like, you know, you see an event happening in the background, he just kind of tippy-toes away around it to fix something else, right? Because he doesn't want to be seen. It might change the course of time, right?
Mm-hmm.
But far as I know, he's basically going around and fixing all the other timelines that have different Lokis. And not all Lokis are created equally. There's a female Loki, different type of Lokis. So it looks like that's his job, is to go and fix all these Lokis that have been sprung out from this timeline. Which is pretty interesting. He's going to be fighting himself pretty much. That's going to be pretty cool. I know, Chris, you're dying to talk about this. there's some character that you're going to mention. But before you mention it, I know for a fact Mephisto's in this one.
Oh my god.
he is in this one.
I'm signing off right now.
Do you know for a fact, or is it just because you saw the like picture of him?
Oh, fine, I saw the picture of him and I got
excited. No, I'm not saying that's just like like that's they have to put him in this time. Like, you don't just make a picture of him for no reason, right?
Okay, I don't know for a fact that he's in there, but I saw that picture, okay?
So that's good enough for me. That's good enough for me.
I will be looking for him. So, yes, Chris, go ahead and give us your take on this trailer that you got to see.
I am super excited for this because how we lost him in Infinity War. I was just so sad to see him die. That was so sad.
The chicken bones neck snapped off.
Oh, snap. Yes. But from the trailer, I think it's going to be a good way to end, like, to give him a backstory, to give him that final goodbye from the movie that we didn't really get to see. A couple things that I've seen through the trailer. And what I hope to see, I hope we do see some Asgardians that we haven't seen yet. You know, we've all seen Thor. But there was a part of the scene that they didn't show who was throwing it or who caused it. But this energy field projection was a bright green. And I'm like, Loki's is more...
That was Loki.
But is it? It was never that
powers.
It was never what about that bright green before. Exactly. Thank you, Enchantress. That's who I hope somehow makes an appearance, because I think she would be a great scene partner with Loki, because those two are just, you know, we've seen them together before. And as you were saying, Elvin, that, you know, he's going to be going back to find other Lokis and timelines. It'd be pretty cool to see the Lady Loki.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We're going to see for sure.
That would be absolutely awesome. I also think it's going to be a pretty funny series. Of course, we're going to get the action, but with the God of Mischief, you know, there's a lot of scenes that they showed us that were quite funny. You know, you stabbed him in the back like 20 times. Okay, I won't do it again.
He's great for Loki. Like, when they casted him, Tom Hiddleston, he's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Great news, though. They are so happy with the way season one wrapped up that they've already signed on for season two.
Okay. All right.
Sweet.
Yeah, season two is has been approved by Marvel and Disney, and they're going to do season two. And I think they can continue on, because why not? Because he's going to be jumping around time, and guess what? If you're jumping around time, you can make so many different episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It could be any possibility, right? So I think they're going to go bigger and badder next season, where he might jump through some major times. And I mean, the possibility of who he can meet in the Marvel universe is infinite. Oh,
so good.
And what if they crossed in time and went to like Fox's X-Men movies and fixed things?
Like, that's a lot of right? fixing.
I mean, yeah, that's a lot. Maybe I'm asking too much, but yeah, maybe just, you know, get Hugh Jackman out of that time and bring him into this universe kind of thing. That'd be pretty cool. Kidnap him.
Yeah. And Deadpool.
Yes, and Deadpool. Although I think Deadpool would just willingly come with him. So
yeah.
Yeah, so June 11th, it is going to be dropping on Disney Plus, which is every Friday, episode at a time. I'm excited. I think we all are excited to see this. You know, it's going to be another fun ride for us, and it's going to run six episodes, I believe. Six episodes. I'm pretty sure it's six episodes. Unfortunately, it's too short, but, you know, there are going to be about, what, almost an hour long episodes?
Yeah.
So it's going to be a fun ride, and I'm just happy that they're already signed in for season two. It gives me great hope, because whenever I hear that they've been renewed, any show I watch, I know that they killed it, because usually they're not going to renew until they hear what people have to say and the critics have to say and then take the plunge. But because they've already renewed over season two, it tells me that whoever's watched it has been already raving about it. So yeah, good to hear that, and love to see that. A little quick side note, I actually met Owen Wilson.
Is he as nice as he seems?
Yeah, I actually met him in the washroom at a urinal side by side at the airport.
Okay, then I'm not going to judge his mood based on that.
I was just, you know, doing my thing, and then I just, you know, finish up, and I just kind of, you know, how you kind of walk out and you look at the next person, just weird, just look at him. I don't know. I guess I do that, but I just looked up and I just see Owen Wilson next to me.
Did you make eye contact while you were peeing?
No, I did not make eye contact. I didn't even say anything. I went to wash my hands and I walked out, but this guy did not wash his hands and he walked right out.
Oh.
Yeah, Owen Wilson didn't wash his hands.
Celebrities yeah. don't need to. They're so, always clean.
Loki, whatever you do, don't shake his hand. All right, okay. So I think, is there anything else you guys want to add before we wrap up Loki?
No, I'm excited. There is one thing, though, that I just realized is it's the one who took the Tesseract in Endgame, right? So he didn't have that life experience. So he's kind of still just going to be a bad guy.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He's in it for himself. Again. Yeah, he's in it for himself.
Okay. That's all now. Yeah. I just realized that, so.
Yeah. He's not the Loki that we got to see at the Endgame where he sacrificed himself because he finally came around and realized that, you know, it's more to it than just him at stake, right? Yeah. That's not the Loki we're getting. We're getting the God of Mischief Loki.
Okay, right? Cool. So
we're getting that.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, okay. On to our next topic. It is about this big event coming on April 9th. But before April 9th, they're doing for Hasbro Pulse members who have paid the yearly $50 fee, whatever it is, to get early access to stuff. A lot of people have, you know, criticized Hasbro for just this early access thing where they don't really get early access a lot of times. So they are going to do this for FanFest on Thursday. They're going to allow the Pulse members to have access to maybe some products. And then the next day will be open to everyday customers who don't have the membership. So we're going to talk about everything FanFest both days. We'll talk about. And we'll just go around the table and kind of reflect on, you know, what we saw from last year's HasbroCon and this year's FanFest and see what things they might do, or is it going to be more or less the same? So what are your thoughts on this FanFest? Do you have high expectations? Do you think they're going to reveal some really cool exclusives, or do you think they're going to save this for a con down the road in the summer or something like that?
Well, you and Chris are the veterans in regards to, like, memberships and all that. So I'm coming in as someone who's familiar, but I've never...
Oh, so you don't have Hasbro Pulse? I thought you had Hasbro Pulse.
No, I've always just Because you know how they do the, like, exclusive, like, you get first dibs. I've always waited till the next day.
Wow, you brave soul.
Yeah, and that's risky. Like, for anyone who's a collector, I do not recommend this, especially if it's a set you want. Like, for example, the Hellfire Club. I believe, Chris, you had a membership for that, right? So you just got yours?
Yes.
And you pre-ordered it, and it was fine. So I'm curious, what's the difference between they're going to release on... You can wait? I don't blame you. Because that was your, like, go-to. That was your baby. So if you waited and you missed out,
yeah,
you would have been traumatized. So I understand. But I didn't really... I didn't really have a craving for anything. So I just rolled with it. If I got it, I got it. Mine was Lord Draken. So I'm curious if they will have anything appealing to me worth the membership to get first dibs. So I'm kind of excited to see what they reveal. Because if something can make me pay for early access, then I'll gladly do it. But there's also the Fan First, I believe, is on the 9th, right, Elvin? So
yes, so the next day will be open to everybody. Wow. They're going to have a big showing. So
there's like two different events.
No, it's not a two-day event. It's more of like... So the 9th, which is Friday, it's going to be the actual event day where they're going to have for hours planned things.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, the 8th, they're going to basically plan for... They're just planning to give like sort of like a VIP kind of access to some things.
They call it pre-party.
Pre-party. Like basically you're going in getting some appetizers. You're not going to get the main course. You're just going to have some champagne and have some, you know, caviar. And then the next day you're going to have your lobster and steak dinner kind of thing. I'm getting really hungry talking about that right now. but yeah, so it's just a little thing. You know, I actually am not happy as a member because the money that I spent, I know it's $50, but I've spent $50 to be a member. And I find, you know, since the day I bought it, I've only had access to one early access since I bought it. You know, and after that, there were Star Wars drops, exclusive drops, that I could not have access to. Because it was available to everybody and it was sold out within a minute.
Okay, so that's bad. And I would be upset if it was you.
If I'm a member, if I'm paying to be a member, you should make the members first priority, no matter what. Right? Don't drop an exclusive and say that I don't have a chance to get it. Because I paid for that. Yeah. Because when they tell you you're going to be an exclusive member... then what exclusives am I getting?
Two drops a year.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Like, that's why I think that they're doing this is because they probably heard the noise from a lot of people saying, oh, I'm paying $50 for once a year exclusive. Other than that, everybody's fair game. And I hear the other argument from the other side saying, oh, you guys are just, you know, greedy. You want to have everything. Us people who don't pay can't have access to it. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, make enough inventory. You know, they have the data to know how many members they have as Pulse members. They have a rough estimate, right? So they should make available, if this is a highly sought after, you know, item, they should make a large quantity available. Make it one per person. Don't make it multiples, but allow the Pulse members to have access to it first. And then, you know, if it sells out, great, but give them ample, you know, stock where they have more than 10 seconds to buy something, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes worth of time or stock where people can go purchase. And then after that, okay, you guys had your chance, you know, a day early. Now, whatever's available, we're going to move it over to tomorrow. And you still have a chance to buy it tomorrow, but everybody else also has a chance who's not a member. I'm okay with that, right? Which is exactly what they did with the Hasbro Con. They did that. Remember where they allowed the Pulse members to buy first and then the next day everybody was open fair game.
Yeah.
After that, it just stopped. Exclusive, after that, it was just fair game for everybody. Right? And you're just left wondering, like, you know, what am I paying this for? Then once a year thing? This is ridiculous. Why would I pay once a year $50 just to move ahead of the line?
Well, right? One thing I did notice with last year's is, you know, I paid the $50 so I can make sure I get the Hellfire Club. So from my understanding, what they did is they took a limited amount that they made available for Pulse members, and then whatever was left over was for everyone else. But the one thing that is kind of crappy, you know, all these people who had to purchase the next day, they still haven't gotten their Hellfire Club. And it was supposed to be out by March.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I actually, it's funny you mention that, because I talked to one of a friend of a show here, Stranded Customs. Shout out to John. He was talking to me. Yeah, great guy. Definitely go follow him on Instagram. He's an amazing customizer. Stranded Customs. And so he was talking to me the other day, and he's like, I haven't got my Hellfire Club. And I'm like, pardon me? I'm like, what? What do you mean you haven't got it? It's like April now. He's like, yeah, I still haven't got it. They haven't even sent me a shipping notification. And I'm just like, what? This is crazy. And I was like, that's nuts. Like, I don't understand what's that? Because, you know, you guys remember, you know, being in Canada, we have EB Games. After that whole Pulse, Hasbro, Con, whatever thing ended, literally 2 days later, EB Games had it everywhere for you to go and pick up.
That's where I got some of my stuff.
Yeah, like, it totally negated membership. Like, it totally negated anybody who was a member in Canada.
That was kind of ridiculous. Even though I benefited from it, like, that's kind of like a jerk move on their part.
Mm-hmm.
It was a spit in the face for everybody in Canada who paid FedEx shipping to get here, because we don't get free shipping like the Americans do. We have to pay shipping, and then you might get hit with a custom charge too, because it's coming across the border.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was a spit in the face, because they could have just said to people, you know, EB Games could have been given a heads up, because as far as I know, even EB Games headquarters wasn't even aware of this.
You know, yeah, they didn't know. They started showing up in our system.
Yeah, they started showing up in our system. By the way, you have to go to the store and buy it, because you can't do it over the phone, right? So it was kind of ridiculous that they did that for Canadian residents. I mean, they could have just gave them a heads up so that EB Games could put it in their website and let people know that, hey, if you don't get it at Hasbro Pulse, don't worry about it. We'll have a limited amount in stock in here at our stores.
Yeah.
And I think that would have been fair for a lot of people, because, you know, some of these people are still waiting in Canada for their stuff.
And EB got theirs, right? Like, those have come and gone.
Those came a month after.
Yeah, so that's weird that you can't get it right from the source on time, but from a secondary retailer.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, man.
And this is why people are mad at Hasbro. And this caviar, you know, appetizer find, you know, showing around tomorrow is maybe some sort of way to schmoo people to renew their $50, because a lot of them are coming to an end this summer. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is their way of trying to get you to re-up, because if I don't see improvements to this thing, I will not re-up, because I'm not paying $50. So once a year I can get ahead of the line.
Yeah.
But in actuality, I could just buy it from EB Games probably. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's my take on that. In terms of what do you guys think they're going to be showing tomorrow? Do you think they're going to be some big hitters tomorrow, or do you think it's going to be kind of subdued and they're going to wait till Friday to show the big guns?
I think and I hope the Ninja Turtle Power Rangers, like, maybe prototypes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You're just a big so I fan can see, like, do I want to sign up for this just so I can get a pre-order? And then after hearing your stories, like, maybe I don't want to do that, but I'm willing to drop money on those.
But here's the thing, though. It's scary because you're kind of put in a tough situation where if you see something that you really want, you want to pre-order, because you're afraid that if you don't, what if another retailer doesn't carry it? Now you're screwed.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, it's frustrating because you're put in this corner. Sure, you can cancel it. People can say, well, you can definitely cancel it. But, you know, what if you go to the store and buy it there, but they can't guarantee you? Because EB Games has canceled people too, where they've pre-ordered something and they just phone them and say, I'm sorry, we don't have enough in stock, so your order is canceled. So What do you do? Like, can you imagine you pre-order on Hasbro, and then you find out EB Games has it, so you go there, pre-order there, because you want to save a few bucks, go back to Hasbro, cancel it, only to have EB Games phone you down the road and say, by the way, it's canceled.
That's why you don't cancel it.
You might as well jump off the deep end.
Right? Like, yeah, that's always the frustrating part.
Oh, man. It's just, yeah, it's crazy. Crazy. You think that when you pre-order something, you're guaranteed that.
Not anymore. You know? It's just like, nope. We have the right to take your deposit.
Yeah.
And we'll let you know when we feel like giving it to you. Like, this sounds ignorant of me, so I apologize. Like, I don't know the ins and outs of working in a factory. But NECA in the past has done this really well, where they've made numbers to fit the amount of pre-orders came in, like token raids are. Like, you had a certain amount of days to put your pre-order in, they got the pre-order numbers, and then they made the same amount of figures to fit that. And didn't they do that with the HasLab Sentinel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was a numbered thing, yeah.
It's possible to do this. You just might have to wait longer because they aren't mass producing these things and sending them to stores. But I think that's better than making a set amount, overbooking pre-orders, and then telling a couple thousand people, oh yeah, sorry, your Storm Shadow's not coming.
Oh, don't get me started on that. I had some experiences with that. That yeah. Frustrated me.
But just like, examples like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're saying, Crimson Chris?
The only issue with, you know, doing a pre-order and getting all those in and then producing those, you know, NECA isn't widely available like Marvel Legends are. You know, if they only produce what people pre-ordered for, how would they know the numbers that get sent out to store? You know, I get it if they were limited edition figures, but, you know, for big things like the HasLab Sentinel and exclusives, yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. But to do that for every single figure that they release?
Not everything, but like for the people who pre-order the Hellfire Club.
Oh, okay.
Like that was marketed as a like Hasbro exclusive.
Yeah.
Which ended up going to store anyway. So, right. I don't okay. know. Like they dropped the ball on that one.
Well, I'll give you another example of exclusive that everybody got screwed over on, including myself, is the Mandalorian exclusive that they had, which was the you know, the Black Series. I'm gonna pull it up here if I can find it for me here.
Is it the one with the child?
No, it was the armorer, the exclusive they had. So it was basically, they had a regular version that was gonna come out in the Black Series wave, but they had one that it was available at for Pulse members and exclusive. It was the fur on her shoulders and the back was actually furry. So instead of plastic. So I bought that because it came with additional accessories as well. And you can only buy it there. So I tried buying it on Hasbro Pulse and it was sold out. I couldn't get it. So I had to go to a third party place and buy it. I paid maybe about $10 more than I wanted to, but it wasn't that bad. So I got it, only to find out that they're sitting in shelves everywhere in Toys R Us.
What?
A couple months later, they're spotted in Toys R Us, and to this day, you could still find it sitting at Toys R Us. Like, I literally walked into a Toys R Us, and there's maybe at least 15 of them sitting on the shelf.
Wow.
And cheaper than what I bought it for. But nobody saw it coming. Nobody. When people saw pictures of it in Ontario, people were just like, is that a joke? Because this was sold as an exclusive. And a lot of people were bummed because they couldn't get it. So it's crazy that this was just thrown into Toys R Us's inventory and there was a ton of them everywhere. Every Toys R Us has them somewhere. And it's crazy. I paid, you know, this much just to get it because they say exclusive, but they just seem to just loosely throw that now.
That doesn't mean anything anymore. It's arbitrary.
Yeah,
exactly. Same with variant.
And that's frustrating because a lot of people take that to heart. When you say exclusive, they actually cherish that and want to do everything they can to get it and to feel so bummed out when they don't get it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just I don't know why. Like, why say exclusive? Say exclusive in the U.S. or exclusive for a limited time. Like, word it in a way where people are going to say maybe there's an opportunity for me to get it somewhere else later on.
Well, that's just marketing. They want them. They know what they're doing. Like, but, they know.
They know a Mandalorian is hot. They know Star Wars is hot. They're going to sell this thing. So why even need to add plugs to it? Right?
Yeah.
If it's something that's, like, you know, not popular, like, for example, let's say Toys... I know I'm going to probably get people sending me messages, but let's say a Transformer figure that's not well-known, and they want to, you know, pump this thing up and put it as an exclusive, fine, make it a limited amount, because you know there's going to be a very small market that wants this thing or that specific figure. I mean, obviously, Optimus Prime, everybody wants him, but a smaller character, they want to sell it, but not have, you know, have it sitting around for months, and, you know, make it a small amount, call it exclusive. Once it sells out, and people are okay with it because it is what it is. But, you know, when you have something as big as Mandalorian TV show drop, and you have a figure, a pivotal character in there, and you call it exclusive, but it really isn't, it's available afterwards everywhere, it frustrates a lot of people. It kind of questions people, like, saying, why are you playing games with us here and throwing this word around exclusive? It really isn't. Yeah, it's frustrating to see that. What I'm expecting this tomorrow's event is it's going to be, they're going to have a couple of things that you could probably buy. They'll give you a sneak peek of what's to come. Maybe show some art. You know, like, it's going to be not as big as I think it's going to be. A lot of people are thinking that they're going to get some special royal treatment with the red carpet rolled out. I don't think it's going to be like that. I think you're going to get some looks of some sneak peeks kind of thing. Maybe box art or something like that, of maybe some G.I. Joes, some Power Rangers, some, you know, things like that to tease us. It's going to be more of a teaser trailer than the actual trailer. I don't know if that makes sense.
That's, I bet you anything, if that's all that they're going to do, a lot of people who are going to probably sign up for the premium member, $50, are going to be very disappointed. Because, yeah, you know, when that excitement is created, they're like, oh my God, I can buy it a day before anyone else. We don't know that, yeah, what we're getting to buy. It could just be, you know, the silly little things to start out with. Maybe they're the 5-point articulation figures that's going to be available for that day, you know? And then people are going to be like, I spent $50 for what? So I can see that I can possibly buy this tomorrow? Yeah, no.
Remember when they dropped that epic word? Something epic's dropping tomorrow, and it was just Grogu doll, Star Wars Grogu. People were like, what? This is it?
Like, they need to stop doing that.
You guys too. Remember that?
Like, when they hype themselves up to the point where they're like, anything we say will be praised. Oh, no. You still have to try.
Yeah.
I just feel that if people are expecting a whole lot tomorrow, they're probably not going to get that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, because of history, I don't, you know, expect a lot tomorrow. I maybe expect one nice exclusive to be available, maybe two at max, and I think that's it. And I think we're not going to get anything else after that. We're just going to get a little sneak peek, some pictures, and then they'll say, join us tomorrow for a full, fun-filled day event with so much more to see. And, yeah. And honestly, like, if you're going to make a big deal about this thing like they are, you better bring it on Friday then. You better bring the goods. I want to see a lot of new stuff that's going to come. I don't need it right away. You can show me some stuff that's going to come down in maybe after summer. That's fine with me. But you better bring it, because we've been hyping it up. A lot of people on social media have been hyping it up. It better deliver, because I think you're going to see a nosedive in premium memberships if they don't have stuff that premium members can buy tomorrow, and if they don't have any exclusives that as any Hasbro person members or even non-members can go and buy it from their website rather than hunting it and trying to look for exclusives.
Yeah.
And one thing that would seal it for me and make it a great event, if they go and say every exclusive we sign with any of these stores, those products will be available at our site as well. I think it's an absolute game changer if they do that and say, hey, listen, if we're going to send a G.I. Joe exclusive to Target, even though you can only get it at Target, but you can now get it at our site as well.
Yeah.
I think it would be massive. Like Star Wars, Marvel Legend exclusives, all available, all exclusives available at our store while quantities last. Why not? You know, that's showing that you care about your fans of these lines, because you're saying, hey, yeah, listen, yeah, some of you might not be able to physically, or because we are in a pandemic, might be not able to go to these stores to get it. We'll make it available with a couple of clicks on our website.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think? You think that's a great idea or what?
Well, they have their online store. Why not utilize it? Yeah. Like, what's keeping them from not cutting out, like, why not cut out the middleman? Or keep the middleman there, but also make money for yourself too. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I know they have to sell units, right? But you could still, like, you have the resources to do it. So your idea is great, and I can't think of a reason why they haven't been doing it.
I mean, I'm sure like Walmart and Target are not gonna have a problem with them selling it from their own store, and then Hasbro going and selling it on their website, because Hasbro could say, hey, listen, we're sending it out to you, but we're going to have a small amount available from our website. I don't see an issue there.
I think it's more licensing issues, because when you get those Toys R Us Walmart exclusives, and especially Walgreens, the license is only the allowance of that store to have that figure. You know, it's just like all this.
Then they better step their game up, because some have been like sucking hard when it comes to getting product in.
Yeah, well, very.
G.I. Joe collectors have been like gut punched since day one. You know, they can't get their stuff. They just can't get it. It's ridiculous.
Chris is right though. Like, it probably is about licensing and exclusive rights and territory rights, but they've been squandering this opportunity been given.
Okay, let me give you another example then. Oh, let me give you another thought to ponder on. What if they send these figures out to, let's say, Target? They've sold out. Target's all done now. Can they then not bring it back alive on their site? Because they've already met their, you know, deal with Target. You know, they've met their quota. They've agreed to their terms. They're done with it. Can Hasbro not go, hey, by the way, guys, we know that it's sold out everywhere at Target, and it's discontinued by Target. They're no longer buying any more from us. Let's go and put some up on our site now that gives some of the fans a chance to get it, because it's gone now from the stores.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know.
Do you think time exclusive?
That's a good question.
Like, I'm a big proponent, like, you know, I would love to, like, you know, get time exclusives. I think, you know, one of the guys that does that, Todd McFarlane, does that. He has time exclusives. You know, he allows Walmart to have the figures for about a month or so ahead of everybody else, and then after that, it's fair game. You know, I gotta respect that. As much as I'm not a huge fan of McFarlane figures, I have to respect that, because that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, fulfill your obligations with your, you know, retailer that agreed to, you know, licensing with you, and then say, hey, you got a month and a half to sell the stuff, which is plenty of time. After that, we're going to open up the doors for everybody else to buy it. That's the way I think it should happen.
I mean, yeah, that's a great idea. I was curious as well, now that you said that, do you remember, like, I don't want to jump topics between toy companies, but it's kind of inevitable. So NECA had their, maybe it was a San Diego Comic-Con, Green Lantern and Alien 2-pack, and Batman and Alien 2-pack, and Predator. Like, they had these hardcore, like, hard to find. Everyone wanted them there. Oh, and then they showed up at Walmart.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
They showed up at Walmart in the States for $20. I can't go on eBay and find one cheaper than $300 right now, because I'm in Canada. But these exclusives were just like, oh, we don't know what to do with these. Let's just dump them in Walmarts in the US. So that takes me back to, what is exclusive these days? Like, what is the licensing lines get drawn up? Like, what are these? Like, I guess every contract's different, right? But I've seen so-called quote-unquote exclusives showing up in one store, and then I go to a discount store and there's just piles of them in there. So
what doesn't get sold?
The,
like we talked earlier, the word exclusive is just doesn't mean much nowadays.
Yeah.
It's just a marketing term they use now to pull people in to buy quickly.
Mm-hmm.
To maybe to get that hype going, or, you know, like to maybe show the figures to retailers, say, hey, look, this is selling quite a bit with us. Maybe you want this in your store, so we can send you 10,000 of these units into your store, because look, at our site, there's a massive peak in sales for this figure. Maybe they're using that as a way to lure retailers to buy their inventory. I mean, I talked to one online retailer who's a successful retailer in Canada, and he told me that Hasbro's all over the place. They're all over the place. They do things, you know, in just random ways. They have no, you know, set amounts. They have no set quotas. They just do whatever they feel like doing. As long as they appease their retailers, they don't care. They really don't. It's very, very few people in Hasbro actually care to make sure the fans get their figures.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, yeah, because he's an online retailer, and he's like, it's just so weird, because one day I would get a call from Hasbro to get two boxes, no problem. They send it over right away. The next day, it's like entirely different, you know, conversation. They're like, nope, this is for this retailer. We'll send it to you when we can. Whether it shows up 6 months later or not, it's just so random, and it's so frustrating for them.
Yeah.
You know, trying to deal with Hasbro, because they don't know. They just don't know.
All right, so, and that was a surprise fourth topic for everyone still tuned in. I love when we always talk it. We can go on and on. It's amazing.
I just noticed that. I looked at the time step. But when you get us going, you just can't stop us. You get passionate.
Yeah, it's fun to talk about this stuff, like, because, you know, it is important that we do mention this to anybody who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
The world of collecting, it's evolving, it's changing, and it's getting, I would say, in my opinion, difficult to collect.
Yeah.
You know, it's not what it was 10 years ago, not what it was 20 years ago. It's changed dramatically, and I think it's ruining it for a lot of people who want to collect. And, you know, it's, I do give credit to NECA, though. Like, you know, you touched on NECA. They are the one of the few companies that actually do care to make sure they get figures into the hands of collectors, whether it's to re-put up sales on their own personal site to allow people, if something's sold out so quickly, they allow people to have a second chance. You know, they mass produce as much as they can into retail so that you have a chance to get these things. So that I appreciate that from NECA, right? Like I said, with Todd McFarlane, I'm not a huge fan of them, but he makes sure that you can get what you want. He pumps it out there. And a lot of it is collecting dust, but, like, I've never had any issues with any Todd McFarlane figures, ever. Right? Even good ones. There are some gems in the pile of, you know, whatever he has, calls figures. There are a couple of things that are, you know, are good figures, and I never had any issues. I always find them. So, I don't understand.
That's a very good point. I was trying to think of, like, what haven't I found? The ones I wanted, I got. Huh. Makes you think. How hard is it?
Chris, have you had any difficulties? Aside from Hasbro, have you had any difficulties from other lines?
Shipping, like, getting a hold of a figure?
Yeah, like, you know, have you, you know, from NECA or, say, something like Mattel or anybody that you collect with, did you ever have any issues finding a figure?
Honestly, the only time I've ever had an issue with ordering figures is through Amazon. You know, it's...
Ugh.
I had an issue with them because they say they're going to have a bunch of stock. Like, I remember pre-ordering an entire wave, and then it just got canceled. And then we got it back in stock. It's just like, can you make up your mind? You know, can you figure out what you're getting in and what's going to be available? But usually I've never had an issue with getting figures. I've tried to cut back a lot on what I purchase for my collection, because I don't want it to get too big. But
yeah, me too. I feel the same way.
it's you know, trying to be selective, and you know, I like to support local BC shops. You know, I do go to Toy Traders and Metropolis Comics in Burnaby. They're amazing there. And, you know, I do hit up EB Games because, you know, I've made a good connection at a couple of the stores, and they always tend to let me know when something's coming out that I didn't even know was being released. So yeah, I haven't had too many bad experiences.
Yeah, it's I find the Canadian collectors have it a little bit better sometimes compared to our American counterparts, where, you know, places like California and New York, it's a lot harder to collect because there are so many collectors vying for so little.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, I've got some friends in California, and yeah, collecting is very difficult in California. There are so many people out there trying to get these figures, especially hot items. You know, a lot of them are scalpers where they want to go flip it on eBay or something like that. But yeah, I mean, let's see what FanFest has in store for us tomorrow, mm-hmm. which is April the 8th, and April 9th when it opens, the doors open up for everybody. Let's see. We're going to definitely recap both days on our next podcast, so we'll definitely recap that. But we're also going to be dropping our Friday night Falcon and Winter Soldier podcast, so make sure you guys, you know, keep track of that. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time watching that and then talking about it, spoiler filled. So make sure you guys are watching, you know, just like us, and be ready to listen to the podcast. With that being said, make sure that you guys follow us on Instagram and Twitter and our Facebook at AstonishingNR. Make sure that you guys are checking out and, you know, liking and subscribing to our YouTube channel. We got a ton of stuff that we're, you know, doing. We did leading up to this event, we did 3 videos in a row, back to back to back. Top 10 Marvel Legends speculation, top 10 Star Wars, and top 10 G.I. Joe. So definitely go check those out before you see the FanFest and see if we hit some of those predictions and speculations. But yeah, so, you know, wherever you are in the world and the universe, have yourself a good morning, a good day, and a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Have a good night.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Bye.